I have an unusual sermon tonight. I've entitled it, A Man's Castle. A Man's Castle. You know, there's been many wonderful things written about the home. A man by the name of J. Howard Payne wrote this, "Mid pleasures and palaces, through though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." Stephen Foster wrote that song, "My Old Kentucky Home." Pliny, the Greek, said, "Home is where the heart is." And when I mention the word home, as Brother Gary sang a moment ago, I'm sure that different memories go through your mind. When I mention the word home, some of you might think of that home, that place that you live, the family that you had when you were young, a child. And you go back to memories of mom and dad and brothers and sisters when you were young and just starting out in life. And when I say the word home, that's what you think of. Others, when I say the word home, might think when you first created your home, husband and wife, and little children started to come along, and the joys that was in that environment, but also the struggles that newlyweds and new parents have when they start out. Some of you may think, when I say the word home, think of the place that you live now, the folks that you live with now, and as Brother Gary says, they're precious memories, whatever you think of, whether you go back to when you were a young boy or a young girl, or whether you go back to when you were just getting started as husband and wife, or you think about the place that you live now, the family that you have now, they're precious memories. But the word home brings pictures to everybody's mind. And the word home ought to bring to mind a place where everything is okay. You know, we sing the song, "Everything's All Right in My Father's House." In my father's house, in my father's house. Everything's all right in my father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. That ought to be, that ought to describe not only the heavenly home that we're looking forward to, but it ought to describe the homes that we have now. When everything's all wrong in the world, there ought to be a place where we can go where everything's all right, and that place ought to be home. When nobody else seems to love or understand or accept us, we ought to go to a place where we have unconditional love, understanding, and unconditional acceptance, and that place ought to be home. When in this world where everybody's busy and nobody seems to have much time for us, there ought to be a place that we can go and find that people have all the time in the world for us, and that place ought to be home. One of the saddest statements that Jesus made when he was on the earth was, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head." And what Jesus was saying is, really and truly, I have no home in this world. Now, I know he had a home when he was a boy with Mary and Joseph, but even then, he was just passing through this place. This place wasn't his home. He lived here for 33 years, was crucified, spent some time after his resurrection on the earth, and then went back home to heaven. And one of these days, we are going to join him in his home and live in that place where everything is all right forever and ever and ever and ever. In a barber shop, some men were talking about the beautiful places that they had seen. One of them mentioned the Redwood Forest in California. Another had mentioned Niagara Falls up in New York. There was a little black shoeshine boy there. This back in the days where they still shine shoes in barbershop. And they said, "Hey, son, where's your favorite place?" He says, "It's Arkansas." Arkansas. Now, some of you ought to say amen to that. Arkansas. And they said, "Well, why is Arkansas your favorite place?" He says, "That's where my folks are. That's where my folks live. There's no place like home." Now, tonight, I just want to talk to you a little bit about home. And I'm going to use a statement. I'm going to use the Bible, but I'm going to use a statement to launch my sermon tonight that Sir Edward Coke made. Now, Sir Edward Coke is not the one that invented Coca-Cola. I'll just tell you that right now. Sir Edward Coke was an English judge that lived in the late 1500s, early 1600s. In fact, he was a man that questioned the divine right of kings. He was a Christian, and using his Bible, he wrote some essays that questioned a belief that existed in his day that kings and queens had a divine right to rule. And those essays were read by some of the folks that ended up coming to America and establishing the form of government that we have today. But Sir Edward Coke, in one of his essays, wrote this. He says, "A man's house is his castle. A man's house is his castle." And so tonight, I want to give you seven things from the Word of God that we can do to make our homes castles. Castles. So you can track my progress. I know what time it is. I'm going to try to get done pretty close to quitting time, the time I normally quit. So you can track how close I am to landing by what number I'm on, because there's seven of them all together. Number one, we can make our homes our castles if we build them on a firm foundation. When you think of castles, you think of stone edifices. You think of spires and walls and made out of stones. Those castles will only stand if they are built on a good foundation. If we want our homes to be castles, we need to build them on a strong foundation. We need to build them on the foundation that the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11, where it says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And if we want our homes to be a castle, we need to build them on the Lord Jesus Christ. In our homes, we need to have a dad that's a Christian. In our homes, we need to have a mom that's a Christian. In our homes, we need to lead our children to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't think you should wait very long. I think you ought to start talking to them about Jesus when they're laying in the crib. I've already had a lot of conversations with Arnie about the fact that he's a sinner, that he needs to receive Jesus as his Savior, and he needs to do it right now. I know some of you say, "Preacher, you're crazy. He has no idea what you're talking about. He has no idea, no understanding that he's a sinner and that he needs Christ." I know that. But I don't know that day or that moment that he will understand. And so I'm going to keep talking about it. And hopefully I'll be talking about it that moment, that first time that he understands he's a sinner, needs Jesus, and needs to receive him. So we need a Christian dad. We need a Christian mom. Not just in name a Christian, but a person that lives their Christianity every day. That person that every day takes, like we were talking about in Sunday school, takes that next step of obedience in faith and lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to train our children in our homes in the way of the Lord. We need to train them from this book. We sing a song that conveys this truth, and in order to convey the truth, I'm going to change one word. The word I'm going to change is hope. I'm going to change it into home. And the song says this: "My home is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." The verses that we read from Matthew chapter 7 make this point. Jesus said, "Let me tell you about two men. Let me tell you about one man who I will liken to somebody that when he hears my words, he does it. Hears me speak, hears me preach, hears me teach, and puts into practice what he hears. That man is like a man who builds a house upon a rock. And when the storms come, when the rains beat down and the floods come up," and if you've been watching TV, you know, not only are we having fire in Colorado, but we are having floods in some place in the Midwest. I was watching news the other night, and it's just the opposite of what it was last year. Last year we had drought, this year we have floods. But when those floods came, a house that is built upon the rock will stand. And then Jesus said, that is in contrast to a man who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, doesn't pay any attention to them, doesn't put them into practice. He's like a man that builds a house, but builds it on sand. And when the rains come down and when the floods come up and they beat against that house will fall. In fact, he says, great will be the fall of it. And so if we want our homes to be castles, we need to build them on the rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, all castles need a moat. A moat is a ditch that's around the castle filled up with water. Got alligators in it. Where's Dominique? She gave me a prop. Oh, there she is. She gave me a prop tonight. I know all moats don't have alligators in them, but for a moat to be effective, they need alligators. Because, you see, if somebody tries to swim across the moat, these alligators will get them. The only way you can get across the moat with the alligators in it is if somebody lets down the drawbridge from the castle, and you can walk from this side of the moat to the other side of the moat and get into the castle safely. The moats that we ought to put around our castles are the moats of prayer. We ought to surround our homes with prayer. And if our homes are going to be castles, they need to have that moat of prayer. You know, Satan trembles when he sees saints on their knees, because the world can't ford a moat of prayer, flesh cannot swim across it, and the devil cannot fly over it. And so we ought to surround our homes with prayer. We ought to begin the day with prayer. I mean, when we get up, we ought to be praying. When we sit down for breakfast, we ought to pray. When we take our mid-morning coffee break, we ought to pray. When we sit down for lunch, we ought to pray. When we take our afternoon coffee, if you don't drink coffee, you can drink a Coke or pop. I was going to say you can drink anything you want, but you can't. You got to drink what's right and what's good. But when you take your afternoon coffee break, you ought to pray. When you sit down for dinner, you ought to pray. As a family, you ought to have family devotions and pray. Before you go to bed, you ought to pray. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James says in chapter 4, verse 2, we have not because we ask not. Home ought to be a place that's described in Proverbs 18:10. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And we can have a home like that. We can make it into a castle if we surround it with the moat of prayer. Prayer will let God in and keep Satan out. So all castles need a moat. Number three. A castle is a place of ample provision. The kitchen in the castle always has the cupboards full. There's always something to eat on the king's table. We have the expression, a meal fit for a king. There ought to be royal bounty in our castles. And so tonight, I'm going to encourage you to stock your larder. Is that a word? No. Stock your cupboard. Larder's what's in the cupboard, right? I don't know. None of you guys know either. At least you're not telling me if you know. Stock your cabinets. Stock your pantry. Stock your cupboards, however you want to say it, with the bread of life, the B-I-B-L-E, Jameson, the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. Teach it to thy children diligently when thou settest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God said, I want you to take the bread of life, and I want you to teach it to your family. I want you to teach it in the morning. I want you to teach it throughout the day. I want you to teach it when you're at home. I want you to teach it when you're not at home. I want you to teach it as you retire for the night. All day, every day, everywhere. I want you to teach the Bible. I want you to give them the bread of life. And if you do that, if we do that, God will fill up our cupboards. In John chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we abide in this word and we let this word abide in us, we get a blank check from God. You say, preacher, is that true? Yes, it is. You mean if I abide in here and these words abide in me, I can pray and God will sell me the winning lottery ticket? No. Because if you're abiding in this word and this word's abiding in you, you won't waste your money buying a lottery ticket. Amen? Amen. Amen. But if we abide in this book and we let this book abide in us, God said, I'll give you a blank check. Whatever you want, whatever you ask. Now, he knows if we're abiding in this book, and this book is abiding in us, we're only going to ask things that will bring glory to him. We're only going to ask things that will be according in his perfect will for our life. He says, yeah, I'll give you that. Just ask for it. I'll give it to you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. God wants to bless us. He not only wants to save us, he wants to give the abundance of life to us. Philippians 4:9, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Listen, God said, I'll give you everything you need. You don't have to worry about it. Brother Bill was talking about it a minute ago. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be anxious about it. Just come to God with thanksgiving, knowing that he wants to supply every need that we have. Depend on him. Follow his lead. Don't plunge your castle into debt. Don't plunge your castle into debt. Don't say, well, God's not going to take care of me, so I got to take care of myself. I got to go into debt to get what I need. No, you don't. If you got to go into debt to get it, you don't need it. Now, I'm not talking about your house. I know we sometimes have to go in debt to buy a house. I'm not even talking about your car. I know sometimes we have to borrow money to buy a car. But most everything else we buy, we don't need to go into debt to get it. We ought to just wait till we save the money. That's what we've done for our buildings here. We're not going to go into debt. And we're together on this. As far as I know, nobody's ever come to me and say, preacher, we ought not to wait. We ought to go borrow money. I've not had one person come up to me and say, let's borrow money. Every person I've talked to said, we're not going to borrow money, are we? I said, no. We're going to wait till God gives it to us. We're going to wait till God provides it, and he'll do that. You need to be, and I need to be, deeper in love than we are in debt. Amen? We need to be deeper in love with our spouses and with our children than we are in debt. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little in the Lord than great treasure and trouble that sometimes comes with it. And I tell you, if you'll go into debt, sooner or later you'll get into trouble. Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therein. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I ran across this little poem the other day. A patch of ground and old gray mule, enough to eat his kids in school. A faithful wife, a song to sing. It doesn't take much to make a king. Amen, amen, amen. Number three, ladies, get ready. This is your point. A castle needs a queen. Castle needs a queen. I mean, you can have a big castle, and without a queen, it'll just feel empty. It can be built on a firm foundation. It can have a moat around it. It can have ample provision. But if there's no queen, there's something missing. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And so I say to all the husbands here tonight, Make your wife the queen in your castle. Treat her as a queen. Teach your children, regardless of how old they are, to treat their mother, your wife, like a queen. When you proposed to her, you pledged your love and devotion. You looked for ways to please her, to convince her that you were a catch and that she could safely invest her life with you. Why have you changed? Why have you quit looking for ways to please her? There's something wrong with a man that can't love his wife enough to keep her in love with him. So I'm just going to give you some pointers tonight. We need to be considerate of the queen. I mean, if you went into the presence of the Queen of England, and I only use her because she's familiar, I don't think she has a divine right to rule, nor do I think any other king or queen does. But if you walked into her presence tonight, you would treat her with dignity and respect. You would treat her like a queen. We ought to do that to our wives. We would be kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." We would do that to a queen. We ought to do that to the queen that's in our homes. Song of Solomon says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou hast ravished my heart." Why can't we be ravished to the queen that we are married to? Smile. You know, one of the simplest things that we can do to show our spouse that she still is a queen is to smile. Don't be a crab. Don't be a grouch. Just smile. I mean, you start doing that tomorrow, she'll probably for a while wonder what you're up to because it's such a change of what she's seen. But the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Try smiling. Just try smiling. And then share time together. Figure out how to do things together. If you got small kids, figure out how to pawn them off on grandpa or grandma and get some time alone. Go on dates. You say, "Well, I can't afford it." Well, yes, you can. You don't have to spend a lot of money to have a date. Find a cemetery and go to the cemetery after dark. You know, it's kind of scary, and she'll snuggle up to you, and you can hold her tight. You can buy a bag of microwave popcorn for 29 cents, and you can pop some pop. It doesn't take a lot of money to have fun. It doesn't take a lot of money to have a date. But make in your castle your spouse your queen. And if we want to make our homes into our castles, that's what we need to do. Number five, castles need proper subjects. The wife needs to be in subjection to her husband. Not a slave, but in subjection. The king needs to be a king. Not a tyrant, not a brute, not a dictator, but a king. Children need to be in subjection to their parents. And mom and dad need to be together on this. They need to plan. They need to pray. They need to agree. Too many parents tie up the dog and let the children run loose. That ought to be just the opposite. We need to tie up the kids and, well, I don't know if we need to let the dog run loose, but. And instead of using Dr. Spock, we need to use Dr. Jesus. We need to use this book. Kelly said a moment ago in her testimony, this book has all the answers. In Proverbs 19:8, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Don't, you know that, what that means? You need to chasten your children when they're little. And don't spare him because he starts to cry. I mean, kids are smart enough to figure out if you're going to let up when they start to cry. They'll start to cry before you even hit them. My brother figured that out with my dad. I mean, my little brother. I mean, when dad started to whoop on him with the razor strap, he started to cry, and he figured out that if he cried loud enough, dad would quit. And so he got to the point, he started crying real loud before even dad found the razor strap. Now, dad got smart, and he let him have it anyway, but that's what that verse means. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22, 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. You know, I wish I could talk to some Christian parents that didn't believe in spanking. I wish I could take them to that verse and say, look, you don't believe in spanking, what you're saying is, I'm okay if my kid goes to hell. That's what it says. We need to discipline them. Number six, I'm out of time. I got two more points. Number six, a castle needs a king. Needs a queen, needs subjects, but it needs a king. What would a castle be like without a king? We need to carry that office with dignity. A king shouldn't rant and rave. A king shouldn't whimper and whine. A king shouldn't storm and swear. When the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order, it's good for the home as well as for the church. I will remind you tonight what I tried to remind you about this morning a couple different times. You are picturing, Dad, God for your children. You need to paint the right kind of picture. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to lead not only with our words, but we need to lead with our actions. Our kids need to see us spending time in the Bible. Our kids need to see us spending time in prayer. Our kids need to see us managing our money according to the principles in this book. Our kids need to see our purity. They need to see the proper use of time. Paul's advice to Timothy is good advice for all fathers when he said in 1 Timothy 4:12, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in other words, in lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then number seven, there should be authority in the home. The first authority is God. First authority is God. Second authority is Dad. Then Mom. There ought to be some rules. There ought to be some standards. And I want to tell you tonight, everything is game. Don't let your kids convince you that there are some areas that are not game for you to have rules and regulations and standards. Everything is game. Their TV time, to have a rule and standard about that, is game. Their computer time. Some of us that are older need some standards when it comes to our computer time. That's game. We ought to have some rules and we ought to have some standards. Getting up time. Going to bedtime. Bathroom time. Telephone time. Chores. I mean, I could make the list go on and on and on. My point is, everything is game. Everything is subject to rules, regulations, and standards. And everybody needs to know what they are. You know, I'm sure in the old-time castles, they had staff meetings. The king would get the staff together and say, hey, here's how we're going to operate the castle. Here's the rules that we're going to use. Here's the duties that everybody's got to do. That's the way it ought to be done in our castles. Sir Coke said, a man's home should be his castle. And if we established our homes on the principles in this book, they can be. They can be. Now, I'll tell you the first thing that we need to do in order to make our homes a castle. Again, we need to build them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to start building your home on the Lord Jesus Christ is to make sure that you know him as your Savior. How can you build a home on the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't know him for yourself? The Bible says we're all sinners. None righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, like I said this morning, I can't think of a better day than Father's Day 2013 to bow your head and ask Jesus to save you. If you do it, he will. He will. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that's in it. I pray, Father, that we not just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers only. And I know there's a wide range of people here tonight. I know there's people with small children. I know there's people just two, husband and wife in the home. Kids are gone and grown. I know there's some widows and widowers here tonight who live in their home all by themselves. But Father, help us to understand that regardless of our family situation, our homes can be castles. And whether we have a bunch of little ones running around or whether we're there by ourselves, we still need to build our homes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We still need to put the moat of prayer around it. We need to treat each other the way that you tell us to treat each other in this book. We need to have some rules. Even those that live alone, we need to have some rules that govern our life. And so I pray that we'd heed the wisdom that's in this book. We put it into practice. We'd make our homes into castles. Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they'll understand that they can't make their home into a castle without knowing him. And so I pray tonight that if they don't know him, that they would come and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. So I pray you bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what you want us to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.